God. Oh, there's none good but you, God. There's none faithful or righteous, oh God, but you, Jesus. We are so thankful tonight to have Brother Blash with us. And we really appreciate him being here. He's a very, very busy man. But he's an asset to us and to the apostolic movement, to the kingdom of God. And so we're going to make our way right into the word tonight. We want Brother Blash to come and take his liberty in the Holy Ghost and tell us what God is saying. Brother Blash, preach to us. Lift up your hand towards him and pray for his home and family and church.
Would you lift your voice toward the Lord? Father, we honor you. We thank you. God, you're so good. Come on, somebody magnify the name of the Lord with me. God, you're wonderful, Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. We just want to bask in that for a little bit. Ah, what the Lord is doing. Lives are being changed forever. Right now. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just lift your hands. Just take a moment. Oh, thank you, Lord. Somebody thank God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something happening in the spirit and in the hearts and minds of this church that supersede this service. Clearly supersede this message. This is just a part of it. But what I feel like God is doing and will do in this service is allow someone to take a very confident and permanent step forward. A very confident and permanent step forward. Even if it's only one step, I feel like that's going to happen in the next little while. And the groundwork has been done from the very beginning, even from Friday night, to be honest, the very, very beginning. And I say the groundwork, that's the groundwork of this service. The groundwork for what is happening in the larger scale has been laid many, many years. I trust, because I've heard you say it, that you understand the importance of this moment right here in time, this service, right this one. And what's going on around you, I trust you understand the importance of it and that you will be obedient to the voice of the Lord tonight. Amen. God has been good to us. I'm going to read several passages of Scripture. One from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 and then Joshua 24. As I'm getting prepared to read those and you're getting there, 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37. Joshua 24, 13 through 15, everything this weekend has been done with excellence, minus a couple of jokes with this guy made, those, but other than that, yes, Brother Dawson. His jokes are not quite as funny as mine, but he's coming in close second. Brother Stephen, God bless you. We've had just good fellowship and fun and get to swap ideas and about the kingdom. How can we do better for God? How can we live this life in a way that's more pleasing? And how can we help God's people? And that's what the conversations swirl around about. And I appreciate that. And I'm so thankful for your pastor. I hope he is having a blast and enjoying himself. And I love and appreciate not just him, but your entire First Family. And wow to your music team. Just all of them. Wow. a great church in St. Louis if y'all ever want to come. I'm just kidding. You'd be disappointed by the preaching, but other than that, praise God. I think really the crux of it was probably rest in those Zion symbols. They just made the difference. And there's a plug, just teasing from our conversation over lunch. Praise God. It's been fun. Next time I come, I will bring my better half. She is my better half, and I don't just say that. It's really true. She is my better half and all regards. And she sends her greetings to you. And I was out and about this year quite a bit. And she said, "Dear, I just can't keep up with you this time." So she stayed home. And I hope you understand that. But she just can't keep up. Sometimes I can't keep up with me. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse number 34 through 37. 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37. I got to tell you that I'm just really tempted to just fast forward to the end because I'm so excited about what God is doing and what God is going to do. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to take my time and preach the word. Is that okay? Three of us said it's okay. Praise God. I'll go fast and preach the word. Is that better? Take your time. Praise God. Are we all right? 1 Samuel chapter verse number 17, chapter 17, verse number 34. 1 Samuel 17 and 34. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I called him by his beard and smote him and slew him." I think it's worth noting that if you've romanticized this in such a way that it wasn't a fight, it appears there was a fight. And David simply said, when he rose against me, I grabbed him by the beard and I smote him and I slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. David said, "Moreover, the Lord has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Moving now to the book of Joshua, and I want you just to hold that scripture in your mind. The book of Joshua, one of the most interesting passages of scripture, because God does something that boggles my mind. Once again, he gives his people a choice. I don't know why he does that, you know? I know on some levels why he does that, obviously, but I'm always amazed at God, who knows everything about us and knows which way is the right way for us, will say, "But now you still have to choose." Why don't you look at somebody and say, "At the end of the night, I have to choose." Yeah. There are times throughout the Bible when God gives his people a choice, and actually the entire narrative, all 66 books, could be summed up as God giving his people choices and chances. And again, that's something that amazes me about the Spirit of God, the person of God. So at the end of the night, if you serve him, it's because you chose to. If you don't, it's because you chose not to. "The devil made me do it" doesn't hold much weight in my theology. The preacher's job is to help you choose rightly. And so tonight I'm going to do my very best to help you choose rightly. Joshua 24, 13 through 15. And then I'm going to reference Deuteronomy 11. I'm going to reference Deuteronomy 13. Joshua 24, verse number 13 through 15. And it says this: "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which he planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Say it with me. Serve ye, one more time. Serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, my God in heaven. I'm going to reference the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 11. Again, the Lord begins by, the word of the Lord begins by a narrative saying, I want you to know that I will, the Lord will drive out all the nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. And he tells them that every place where the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours. And then in verse number 26, he says, behold, I set before you this day blessings and cursings, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you to go after this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 15, very similar in terms of the theme. See, Deuteronomy 30 and 15, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. The Bible goes on with words of encouragement. And then in verse number 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. I want to spend the next 30 minutes, that's about all, preaching to you on this thought, the paradox of choice, the paradox of choice. Lift your voice loud unto the Lord. Magnify him and ask him to open your hearts, open our minds. Help us to hear from you, O God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Most of you know that I have a fascination with the human brain. I've spent a long time studying it. I think it's important to know how God created us and how we can be the very best we can be for him. And when I read the scripture and I read things that we ought to, for instance, love him with all of our mind, I ask myself the question, how is it possible and what does it mean? And that led me many years ago into studying the mind or the brain of a person. And I know that the brain never sleeps. I also know that the human brain is very open to suggestion. There was one time, well, to be honest, two times, that I yelled at somebody I pastor. I didn't mean to yell at the first one. I didn't, really. It wasn't even anger. She had been in the church about a year or two, and she was exhausted and was telling me that she couldn't sleep. And she said, Pastor, the only way I can get to sleep is I come home, I sit on the couch, I turn on the television, and I just fall asleep to whatever's there, and I couldn't help it. I didn't mean to scream at her. It just came out. I said, no! She jumped back, and I said, don't do that! I wasn't talking to her about standards. I wasn't talking necessarily about television as itself. I was saying to her, you, no, Because as you begin to fall asleep, your brain is recording everything in the environment. It records nonstop, 24/7, and you have no idea what's coming into your mind. And as you begin to fall asleep, your mind is even that much more impressionable, which means the things that you consciously take in can be overridden by the things that you subconsciously take in that moment in time. And for 2 or 3 hours, you just had stuff pouring into you, and I knew that what was coming into her was undermining everything she was getting in those 2 or 3 hours on Sunday. The human brain starts recording before you're born. I've given this example many times. My son Daniel, who is just an incredible musician, all around nice guy, tall and handsome. He gets that mostly from, well, I'm not tall. So, my wife is German. She's not kind of German. She's not second generation. I got her from Germany. You can order them these days. Kidding, don't tell her I said that. And my wife loves Handel's Messiah. We have multiple versions of Handel's Messiah in our home. And we've got the very classic version down to the soul fold, just flat out have church version. We've got multiple versions. And while she was pregnant with my son Daniel, Handel's Messiah played over and over in my home. And I was just sick and tired of it, actually, to tell you the truth. And when she was in the hospital, she asked that I would bring music, and she wanted to hear Handel's Messiah. I was so tired of Handel's Messiah that I banned it for 2 years. I said, I don't want to hear it again in this house. 2 years later or so, around Christmas time, Daniel's born in the month of January. So around Christmas time, Daniel was sitting on the couch and he's coloring, and Handel's Messiah is playing once again in my house. It plays all the way through and gets to the Hallelujah chorus, and Daniel throws down his crayons. He jumps onto the floor, lifts his hand and says, Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going, what in the world? What? No way. That's not possible. Dear, get the camera. Let's record this. And we're going, back in the day, you had that kind of camera, you know, we're recording. So I'm going, no way. The kid had never heard Handel's Messiah outside the womb, and he was able to sing it on key with the right rhythm. And I'm going, that's not possible, but it's very possible. And the belly isn't that thick. I mean, mine's a little thick, but that's a different story. The brain starts recording even before you're born. Not only that, we also know that you can pass down through your genes and DNA more than diabetes and cancer and other things like that. But even how you worship now, we're beginning to understand all of that gets passed down. So a lot happens before you're ever born. I always wonder about these pregnant apostolic folks. Like, man, your kid is getting a dose of something good. If they could speak, they'd probably come out talking in tongues. And so it's recording nonstop. Everything you see and everything you hear, everything you experience, it all gets recorded for later use. We think about 50,000 conscious thoughts every single day, but 200,000 thoughts unconsciously every single day. And our world floods us with information. It's coming nonstop. $2 million for a 30-second commercial. You better believe the psychologist churches have planted every seed possible in those 30 seconds to tell you what to think and how to think and what to feel and how to feel about it. That's why you got to come into the house of the Lord and have good church, because while you're in the presence of the Lord, your mind is also recording what you see, what you feel, what you hear. So someday when you're down and out and discouraged and you start thinking about the goodness of the Lord, you're going to want to come into the house of the Lord. As a matter of fact, you open your mouth and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They say, they being people that research this, scientists, cognition, folks that study cognition, they say that of those 50,000 thoughts that we think consciously every day, that 35 to 40,000 of them are negative. And when I hear stuff like that, I want to say, not in the Apostolic Church. Well, it shouldn't be in the Apostolic Church. Because we ought to be thinking about things that are true and things that are honest and things that are just and things that are pure and things that are lovely, things that have good report in them. It's not God trying to just tell you, I suggest you do this. What God is saying, if you've got 50,000 thoughts and you're going to learn to love him with your mind, you've got to find a way to discipline yourself that the vast majority of them are lifting up the name of Jesus and exalting the things that are confirmed within the word of God and the spirit of God. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord, and you got to open your mouth and praise him. My Lord God in heaven. So, will you all give me like 10 minutes to talk about holiness? I can't preach like that everywhere. I'm just asking. I'm messing with you. I know where I'm at. Some people don't understand it. They don't understand holiness, and they don't understand separation beyond rules and regulations. All they get is, I can't go here, I can't do that, I can't think this way, I can't dress this way. They're missing the point altogether. The reason God tells you how to think is because how you think impacts how you choose. The reason you can't watch just anything and everything, because what you watch impacts how you think, impacts how you feel, and impacts how you choose. The reason you can't go just in any old environment, because where you go impacts the spirits around you and the spirit in you, and impacts what you think is right and what you think is wrong. It's a setup for the next choice you've got to make. Oh, Lord God in heaven. It's Sunday night. I think I'm going to preach. I think I'm just going to preach. Charter called me. I have internet service with them, and I pay too much for it. I didn't want to give them a plug. And they called me. And they're so smart. I give them credit for that. They said, Mr. Blash, we're sure that you are a frugal man and that you are wise and careful in your spending. I said, say more. Say on. Mr. Blash, We want to help you with your goal of being a good manager of your money. We've noticed that if you bundle your services, you can save $50 a month just by adding a phone and cable to your internet service. I'm telling you, anybody that wants to help you bundle your services is probably, never mind. I said, well, I have the internet, but I don't need a landline and I don't have a television. Well, Mr. Blash, do you realize that if you would add a television to your home, we could give you 50 gabillion channels for your entertainment? I said, that's funny. I entertain myself. I told him, same thing I told you. I crack myself up. I said, you want me to tell you a joke? They said, no, we want to help you save money. I said, no, you want to help me choose. Mr. Blash, because we value you, we will give you the first 3 months of cable free. I said, wow. What happens after the 90 days? They said, we will contact you again and make you a good offer. I said, so let me get this straight. You want me to eat this stuff for 90 days, and on the 91st day, you're gonna ask me if I want more of it? That's not choice, that's a setup. You set me up for 90 days to make only one logical choice. If I feast on that stuff for 90 days, of course, on 91st day, I'm gonna want more of it. But if I spend these next 90 days praying and fasting, what if you call me again after 90 days of praying and fasting? I've come to tell you, choice is not about options. Choice is all about appetite. You can be seated for a moment. Somebody lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. God, you're doing something in this house tonight. You're launching this church, God, forward. You have been so crystal clear all weekend long.
you're launching us forward. This is the wrong time to backslide. This is the wrong time to get lukewarm. This is the wrong time to question your leadership. It's the wrong time to stop giving. This is the right time to press forward. This is the right time to commit like you've never committed before.
Somebody lift your voice and call on the name of Jesus. Come on, I feel darkness being pushed away. I feel the enemy being put to flight right now. God, if you're going to give us a choice, we choose more of you. Devil, your options aren't really options. Not for the people of God. We choose more of you, God. Come on, somebody, right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm not done, but would you stand or find a way? If you're worshiping, don't stop. If you're praying, don't stop. But if you're not engaged right now in praying or worshiping God in another way, why don't you lift your hands right now? Why don't you stand to your feet right now? God is putting this church in a position to make a choice. And all of the choices you make between now and the choice he asks you to make, all of those are precursors to the real choice. Come on, take another 30 seconds and just give him more of that. Come on, give him some more of that. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody make a conscious choice. I choose more of you, oh God. If you're praying, don't stop praying. For the rest of you, give me about 10 minutes. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5 and verse number 6, you prayer warriors, don't stop. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to tell you, you cannot through the week feast on confusion and expect that you're going to end up having a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You cannot feast on sin and expect that when the option is put before you that you're going to pick holiness. You cannot feast on the things of the world and expect at the end of the day to choose the things of God. But if you will feast on the things of God, it will develop an appetite, and your appetite will dictate your choice. I'm not trying to preach to this church anything new, but I'm going to tell you what I told the lady in our church. I said, not only should you not go to sleep to the television, you ought to go home and you ought to get it out of your house. It's polluting your mind and it's helping you make decisions that God cannot bless. Watch this. Watch this. If you are not interfacing with the presence of God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, then you're the one that never gets a confirmation on Sunday. What in the world is God supposed to confirm? You haven't touched him all week long.
But it's those people who are finding time, even if it's on your drive, even if it's a few moments here and there, you're finding time to touch God, and he's speaking to you. And what he's doing is he's planting something in your spirit that produces an appetite. And then you come into the house of the Lord, and you hear the word of the Lord, and it's confirmation. And you know that God is speaking to you only because you spoke to him earlier. It's not about choice. It's about appetite. You send a man in the desert and you starve him of water. Days go by, 2-3 days. And you bring him out of the desert and put him in front of a buffet with the finest foods next to water. And he chooses water. Because at that point, it's all he has an appetite for. This world can put anything in front of the apostolic church it wants to. And if that church doesn't have an appetite for it, they will push it aside and they'll choose the things of God. It's about what you're hungry for. I feel the Holy Ghost helping us. I feel the Holy Ghost helping us. The human brain, before it chooses, it searches. It looks for confirmations in its environment. And it searches its brain. It searches the brain, searches itself. And it looks for confirmation points. And then based on that, it makes a choice. My God in heaven, what are we putting inside of us? When God said to the people of children of Israel, before he said, choose you this day, he said, let me remind you of my goodness. Watch the setup. He said, I brought you out. I've delivered you with the mighty hand. I've provided for you. He goes down this big list of things. And at the end of it, he says, now, choose you this day. But you see, his reminding them of his goodness had whetted their appetite for more of him. So really, it wasn't so much of which one I do. He made it so easy. And in your services all weekend long, the Spirit of God has been moving, making it easy to do what I'm going to ask you to do in just a few moments. The paradox of choice is oftentimes, it really isn't about choice. You just think you have a choice. You just think it's just, I'm just going to pick and choose. I'm going to figure out the best route. No, you're not. You're going to pull from somewhere. Choices don't come out of thin air. You're pulling from somewhere. Where are you pulling from to make that choice? I want to give you an example. David has to face a giant, Goliath. And that's a big choice. As a matter of fact, all of the other men who were better trained had already made their choice and doing that. David had to make a choice. And when he decided rather or not he should go or not, according to the Bible, his choice was based, at least in part, on two things. Number one, my experience. He went back in his mind and he remembered the lion and the bear. That experience was simply to help him later on make the right choice. And number two, that giant was defying the living God, and it was such an easy choice to defend him. But he wasn't pulling from just nowhere. He wasn't having to reach back and grab for answers that weren't there. He had experiences. I want you to stand with me. This time I'm really close to done. You prayer warriors who are in intercession, don't stop. But I want to ask you to do something that's a little different. Typically, people are moving towards the front about now, but what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you kind of to move back. You prayer warriors who are praying, don't move. You stay right where you are. If you're somewhere interceding right now, you stay right where you are. But everybody else, I want you just to just kind of move back. As a matter of fact, I would like everybody who's not in intercession to just kind of move back, come out into the aisles and move. Don't leave the sanctuary, but move back as far as you can move into the sanctuary without pushing people out or leaving the sanctuary. You prayer warriors who are praying, stay where you are, intercede. God is using you right now. He's using you to help this church. And while he's using you to help this church, he's pouring something in you as well. So don't stop praying. The Spirit of the Lord has been so clear. This church is launching forth. And it's not just geographical movement, spiritual movement, but it's a choice. Some people won't move. Oh, they'll move with you, but they won't move. Some people, they'll crawl. They're going to get there, but they're crawling. They're crawling because standing and putting no effort behind it is a choice they can't make right now because their diet is such that they've not had an appetite for God that makes them desperate for him. And there are the people. There are the people, and they're walking. But I'm telling you, as sure as God has spoken to me about anything, he is telling me this. I'm telling you, this church cannot crawl into this next dimension. This church cannot simply walk into this next dominion, this dimension. This church has to run toward it. You've got to run toward it. You've got to move with purpose and with zeal for what God is doing. You've got to be like David. I don't know if David ran toward the lion or if he sprinted toward the bear. I'm not exactly sure how fast he was moving, but I know when it came to the giant, he ran to it. Your sins, your weights, your doubts, and your fears, those things must be laid down. You gotta lay those things down. I don't know how you get away with it in this church because the fire of the Holy Ghost is so powerful. I don't know how you get away with it, but I know you do. So I'm talking to those who are lukewarm and you're on the fence. You've gotta lay that spirit down and you've gotta run towards revival. I'm not going to watch other people praise God in this next dimension. I'm going to praise him right alongside of them.
I want to show you what's about to happen in the spirit. This young man right here. Can you help me? Just stop right there. Here's what's about to happen.
I'm going to call for those that God's going to use you. Some of you, he's going to use you. And when you look up in 2007, you will have doubled your giving and it would have hurt you one bit. He's going to use you in that area. And here's how it's going to work. You feel it. God's already been dealing with you. This isn't even prophetic. This is just me telling you what you already know. And you're going to feel it and you're going to run toward it. And as you're running toward it, it's going to be somewhere between there and there that it's going to come upon you. Somewhere between there and there. Think about it. David starts running out. He's going to run out and he's got to figure out on the way, how am I going to kill this giant? But it's not just him running. It's the Spirit of the Lord all over him. But you got to run after it. Going back, brother. It's a person that's hurting in their body. They're hurting their body, but tonight they're gonna be healed. It's gonna come so fast, and they're gonna run for it, because in this next dimension, you're going to see the signs and wonders in greater measure. It's already been talked about tonight, and they're gonna run with an achy body, and somewhere between where they are and the altar, the pain's gonna go away, and the sickness is gonna go away, and the disease is gonna go away. And then there's a person who has no true understanding, but has obedience. And so you're walking this walk, but you probably couldn't articulate it to somebody else. You're just being obedient, and that's good. God's about to honor your obedience, because as you run forward and say, God, with all of my heart, I give myself, somewhere between where you are and the altar, understanding will come to you. And it's that person that's on the fence. You probably never ran for anything. You have been riding the wave created by other people. And in this church in particular, it's so high that from that vantage point, you see the greatness of God. But the truth of the matter is, you've been riding that wave of other people, and that's going to change tonight. You are a small blaze, but by the time this night is all said and done, you are going to be a wildfire, burning revival fires in this city. And your little bitty fire will start small, but somewhere, my God in heaven, somewhere between where you are and this altar, something is going to come, and it's going to be a blaze upon you, and God's going to usher you into a great dimension. And I have no idea how we're going to handle what God's about to do in this place, but that is not my business. It's his. Thank you, prayer warriors, who have continued to pray to make a way for what's about to happen right now. I'm calling you who are struggling. Your struggle, that struggle that you've been having for that little pet sin. You know the times you're in and you're out. I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually and mentally. You're here and then you're not. I'm calling you into the middle of a burning revival. Those of you that are sick in your body and you're sick and tired of being sick in your body, I'm calling you into healing. I'm calling this church forward. It's time to move toward this battlefield. And the reason this choice is going to be so easy for some is because it's more about the appetite that's been building in this place for many years. I feel it. I feel a hunger. I feel a thirst. Man, it's pulling me right now. I feel it. And it's been bubbling here. And you've been hunger. And you've been thirsting after it. And God is fulfilling that. I want to open this altar. I want to ask you not to crawl here. And I don't mean you have to physically run here. But that works too. That matter of fact, that might be exactly what you need to do. But I don't want you spiritually limping. Walk in victory, and come make your way to this altar right now, saying, as for me and my house, we will choose the Lord. I'm calling folks into great revival. Those of you that need to give better, those of you that need to worship God. Somebody is facing a giant. on your way to the altar, you picked up five smooth stones and you got a sling. And God's going to direct your aim. I'm not going to compromise, not even one bit. I lay down that compromising spirit. My real hunger is for truth, righteousness, holiness, and revival. Giant, this is not your battlefield. Goliath, this is God's battlefield. Birmingham does not belong to somebody else. It belongs to this church. I choose to live right. I choose to think right. I choose to love God with my whole heart. I choose not to surrender. If I live for God, it's because I chose it. Oh God, the prayer has opened us up for your spirit, the worship has opened us up for your word. The word has opened us up for this altar experience. And this altar experience has opened me up for my highest calling. And I'm called into this world that it might be saved. Somebody choose to worship a little longer. It's your choice. Somebody choose to pray a little longer. Somebody choose to go a little deeper. Somebody choose to get out of the rut. It's your choice. It's your choice. Some young person, choose to push the things of this world away. Instead, I choose you, God. I choose you. The longer you do this, the greater the appetite you're gonna have for it. The harder you worship him, the more you're gonna worship him. You're gonna wanna do it more. You're building an appetite for the things of God right now. My God in heaven, this sounds like a war cry in this house. This sounds like a war cry. I see the fire of the Holy Ghost moving on some folks. Somebody break free. Get out of that lukewarm state. Get out of it. Shake it off. Break loose of that place. If you keep this up, Choosing God on Monday is going to be easier. Choosing God on Tuesday is going to be easier. Choosing God on Wednesday is going to be easier. Why? Because it's what I'm hungry for. That's right. The more you talk in tongues, the more you want to talk in tongues. The deeper you move in God, the sweeter His Spirit becomes. The more you want to taste that sweetness. It's an ongoing situation here. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. To His goodness, there is no end. If you know you could have given more last month, and you let something settle on your spirit last month that kept you from giving God everything, I want you to shake that off. Don't let that thing build residence in your life. Shake it off. It's your choice. Don't stop. God's doing something wonderful right now. Don't disengage with this. This is the sound of another dimension being birthed. Don't disengage into this right now. Stay plugged into it. This is what it sounds like when those who have been barely burning begin to burn with a bright glow. It sounds like this. It looks like this. It feels like this. Somebody needs to say, ask for me in my house. We will serve the Lord. Ask for me in my house. We will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name. For the Holy Ghost. Brother Stephen, can you come, please? I don't want you to stop praying in total. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say the same thing I've said all along. Those of you who are interceding, don't stop. Don't stop. I want the rest of you to listen. If you're interceding, you're deep in prayer and God's speaking to you, don't stop. But for everyone else, I want you to listen. The Lord just spoke to me. Please forgive me that I'm probably talking to a handful of people. And I'm going to use you as my prototype. But come over here. There are folks here right now, I suspect we're talking about, for this illustration, young men, but hear it globally. And you're following him. As a matter of fact, you're impressed with how he serves God, and you're following him. That's not a bad thing. If I had kids in this church, I'd be like, follow him. That's not a bad thing. You're studying him. Because you know, if you study him and can mimic him, you will grow like him. That's not a bad place. But for some of you, it's time to graduate. It's time to keep your eye on him, but who you really need to be studying is who he's studying. Now, you take that, because there are some of you young fellas, I'm talking to you, so that's that. But you take that and you generalize that into other areas.
And there are some of you, and you've got other people in this building, and you're studying them, and praise God, that's how you've probably stayed on the straight and narrow. If you're smart, you just do what they do because they're doing the right thing. But I'm telling you, there's another dimension. At some point, God graduates you, and you don't keep your eye off of them, but you also begin to study the God who they're studying, and that God begins to grow you. And if you can believe this, there are some of you who will surpass him, and you'll surpass some of the others who you're watching. And that's not a bad thing either. And that's kind of what we're hoping for, actually, that you become greater. You do greater things than these shall you do. And so what I'm asking you to do, in particular as it relates to him, if I'm talking to you, probably you young men, maybe some of you young ladies, I don't know. But if I'm talking to you and you feel like God's been dealing with you, this isn't everybody. You feel like God's been dealing with you and it's time to just take that step up. You're probably terrified. But what I want you to do is I want you to come and I want you just to stand right behind him. It may be 3, 4, 5, or 8. I don't know who you are. I really don't know who you are, but I know what God is telling me. And what I want you to do, my God in heaven. Can I just talk and y'all not be offended? I'm about to lay some grow-up juice on you right here. It's time.
Yes, sir.
If you're scared, you ought to be. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God's going to help you. He is going to help. I'm telling you, that anointing that comes upon you will deal with that fear. It'll deal with that, I'm not worthy. I can't. I'm telling you, God is saying right now, watch him, but also watch God. I'm going to anoint every single one of you. And then we need to begin to pray, because I know there's others, and it may not be him. It may be others, but you get the idea, right? If it's the first lady, and this is you, then pretend that she's here, all right? Pretend that if it's the pastor, and you're watching him, and not the God, you understand what I'm saying? It's not you exactly that I'm talking about. For some it is, but not everybody. I'm going to anoint you in the name of Jesus. Pray with me right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, what's about to happen right now is going to mean a mighty revival. If there can come a generation that knows not the Lord, then there can come a generation that burns with greater intensity for him. Help me pray. In Jesus' name. Oh, no, Moha. In Jesus' name. God, right now, grow me up in the Holy Ghost. Grow me up in the Holy Ghost. Grow me up in the Holy Ghost. I want to know the God. I want to know the God of the man of God. I want to study the God of that woman of God. Somebody out there right where you are, why don't you raise your hands and make a commitment to doing more than admiring those that admire him. I want to know about Jesus for myself. I give reverence. I give respect. I love the people of God. I love the men of God. But I've got to know Jesus for myself. There is an anointing resting in this house on a fresh group of leaders, on a fresh
group of leaders. There's an anointing resting in this house. You prayer warriors, thank you for praying. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying. I want more of you, God. More of you, God. More of you, God. Now watch this. This is your first assignment. I want you to take that fire and I want you to disperse it around this place. I want you to go talk in tongues. Touch somebody. Encourage them in the Holy Ghost. Pass that on. Encourage somebody. Take it off the platform. Take it off the platform and touch and encourage and pray and lift up the body of Christ. God, we make a commitment to you. I'm going to change and deepen the way I know you. I'm going to change the way I experience you. I'm not just going to mimic other people. God, that got me this far. But now, God, I've got to watch you. I've got to walk in your footsteps. I got to see where you go. I got to follow you for myself. I gotta watch your hands. And I put my hands where you put your hands. I gotta put my thoughts where you put your thoughts. I've gotta know you more. I've got to know you more. I gotta know you.